back sometime in January. Hope you have a terrific holiday. Merry Christmas.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid.
After the hour right here, 3 minutes, pardon me, after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is the 20th of December, 2012, and according to the Mayan calendar, our last day. It's over, folks. Isn't it? It's over. They reelected the Antichrist. And the world is over. Oh, that's what they say. I promise you tomorrow it'll all be over, and then we'll make fun of the Mayans as we, you know, we're expected to do what we always do. We'll make fun of them. It is a wrap. The whole Mayan calendar thing will be done with, and nobody will remember the movie with John Cusack, 2012, no one will remember it. They'll never play it again on cable television. It'll be a wrap. What will you be doing tonight? I know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be celebrating with drink and merriment. I am going to enjoy my wife in ways that I cannot talk about on the air. I'm just going to be what it is that I've always been, and I'm going to be Reese on the Radio. Welcome to the show, folks. You know what it is that we do here. And listen, folks, let me say this to you, bottom line. Yesterday's show was amazing. I'd like to thank White Mike, Rob in Chicago, Poverty Supreme, JC, the producer, for being a part of it. Sally D, he called in, but then he had to leave. But Sally D, you know, he listens to the show religiously. So I commend him too. But he wasn't a part of the conversation. I would have liked him to be a part of the conversation yesterday. That would have been great. But nonetheless, folks, you know what we talked about yesterday, and that was victimhood in the new norm. That's where it is that we are, the new norm. And it was a very, very rigid and aggressive conversation for most people. Anyone who was listening to the show yesterday, you probably said the same thing that I was saying. Wow, this is pretty deep. These guys are pretty heated about this. And they should be. But let me say something that's going to upset a lot of people. And like I care. I don't really care. But I know it's going to upset them. Here's what it is that I realized last night in the conversation that we were having about victimhood in the United States and in our culture today. I've done probably what would be considered the cardinal sin in all broadcasting, the cardinal sin. And most broadcasters won't tell you this, with the exception of people who I respect. Rush Limbaugh is probably one of the guys, Mark Levin. These guys would probably not, they wouldn't admit this. I've been giving too much credit to people who don't deserve it. I've allowed people to be honest on this network about their beliefs, even though they don't deserve the opportunity to express them. Because, truth be told, they are stupid. They're dumb. They're uninformed, ill-informed. And I've given them the opportunity to say what it is that they feel instead of just flat out just calling them dumb. I should have been crueler to them because they're cruel to me. When I go on their shows and I express my views, they shut me down right off the bat. They are absolutely, categorically dismissive of my views. They have been and they will be. But what is it that I've done? I've said, no, they deserved an opportunity to speak. But now I'm realizing something new. F them. They are idiots. They are lunatics. They are losers. Sorry, folks, but that sucks to say, but it's the truth. And I'm no longer going to adhere to the standards of letting lunatics run rampant. Folks, do you want me to prove it right now? Let's prove it right now. Let's take Poverty Supreme, who's on the show right now. The number's 347-308-8701. If you got the guts to call. Poverty Supreme is on the line. Hello, Poverty. Poverty,
What's going on?
Hey, hold the line, brother. I'm going to call you back.
Yo, what's going on, though, Reese? What's going on? Because you're saying, I never cut you down. I let my callers cut you down. Hey,
I didn't suggest that. So don't misinterpret what it is that I said, Poverty. Go ahead and repeat what it is that I said. What did I say?
No, you're saying that. So are you trying to sound stupid? Because I don't know who you're trying to get at with your statement, bro. Seriously, I don't know who you're trying to get at.
My statement is that what I've done in recent history is to give everybody an opportunity to say what it is that they had to say because I was kind, generous, and giving.
I was kind, generous, and giving to you.
I didn't suggest that you weren't, but what I said was that I've given everybody the benefit of the doubt, and what I'm saying now is that I'm no longer giving them the benefit of the doubt. Now I'm scrutinizing everybody.
Okay, so what does that mean then? Me, what does that mean to me? What does that mean? Are you trying to listen, you're not going to listen to anything I say from it? Is that way?
No, what it means is, what it means today is that now, instead of being kind, because it's obvious that the opposition, the leftists, people like those on your show, those who are like-minded like you, who have not been tolerant in any way, and they're not, and you know that's a fact, they're not tolerant. They claim to be, because that's the ideology that they adhere themselves to. They are not tolerant of others who disagree with them. And I've been, as many people have been in my party, conservatives, we have been tolerant of everyone, but now I think that it's time that we go on the attack. Now it is that I think it's time that we tell each and every individual in the opposition exactly how we feel, and that is that you're a bunch of freaking bonehead fools. Does that hurt? And the silence goes over the crowd. Hello? Well, I think we lost Poverty Supreme. We'll wait until he calls back. Let's see who's on the line here on the 718 line. Hello, folks. Hello, who's this?
I think you got me here.
Oh, that's you. Okay. You calling from a 718 number?
I when I called it, that's what it said I was calling from. I'm confused.
Nothing is more disgusting than this program on blogtalkradio.com. But anyway, let me get back to my monologue. I'll put JC back on hold. Let me get back to my monologue. Truth be told, folks, truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, is that we're living in a world where we, conservatives, are being attacked. And we've played a role that is very similar to my childhood. And I want to tell you a very, very sad and pathetic story. One day, when I was in the fifth grade in Queens, I was leaving the schoolyard. And a bully was terrorizing me for a while. He was terrorizing me for a long time. And he got me outside of the school. And I was walking home with my sister, my older sister, 2 years older than me. And the kid, you know, he said, I'm going to kick your ass. That was his mantra. He just wanted to kick my ass just because I was a smart ass and I had a quick wit. But he was going to respond to me with violence. And I didn't know how to fight. I was in the fifth grade. I didn't know how to fight. I didn't know how to fight back. Anyway, the kid, he punched me. He kicked me. He threw me around. I mean, he tossed me around like a piece of confetti. I'll never forget when he threw me into the fence of the schoolyard, onto my back, onto the schoolyard, and he just consistently punched me and beat me. And when he was done with me, only because he got tired, just let me walk home in humility with my sister and my sister's friends, and they all witnessed it. They all witnessed me get my ass kicked. I got home, and my sister told our stepfather, who was a Golden Gloves boxer, and he later on taught me how to box. But nonetheless, he was told this story, and he was a brooding man. He was probably about 10, 12 years my mother's junior. He couldn't have been any more than 21 years old at the time. My mom is 20 years younger than me. So he was about, he's about 19, 20, maybe even 21. My mom is 20 years my senior. And this guy heard my sister tell him about how I got my ass kicked at school. And he was furious. He was furious because the first thing he said to me, he says, "Eddie, what are you, a pussy? You don't like to fight back?" And my reasoning was, this was my reasoning, was that fighting was wrong. That fighting back was wrong. Just take it and, you know, cowards live another day. You know, you run, you live another day. You know, they're not trying to kill you. They're just trying to beat you up, and you go through it. And I'm strong enough to deal with humiliation. I can deal with people laughing at me and making fun of me. I can deal with that. And he put on a pair of boxing gloves, Everlast boxing gloves. And he got into the living room, and he tossed me a pair of Everlast boxing gloves for me to put on, and he laced them up for me. He put me in the living room, and he moved the coffee table and moved the couches around, and we had a big space in our living room in Springfield Gardens, Queens. And he told me to fight him. Just fight. He said, if you don't, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to beat the hell out of you. Honestly, he told me, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You have to choose whether or not you're going to fight or you're not. You have to choose. Are you just going to take a beating? There were no options. Now, many people today would call that child abuse, because I was in fifth grade and here was a grown man putting on boxing gloves, saying that he was going to fight me in the living room with boxing gloves, and he was going to put a beating on me, and I had to fight back. I got to be honest with you, folks. I was scared to death. It was probably more scared than I've ever been in my entire life. Because he was a big guy, my stepfather. He's a big dude. He was intimidating. He's always has been in my entire life. I'm 43 years old, and I see him today, and he's still an intimidating figure in my life because he was my father figure. But he threw those punches at me, and he swung on me. And I didn't know what to do. And I swung back, and I tried to swing back just to satisfy him. Like, I swung back to satisfy him, not to defend myself, because I figured if I swung back, he would leave me alone. If I gave him what he wanted, the fight, then he would let me just go on being a pussy. But he didn't. And he swung at me, and he hit me, and he punched me a lot, and he just kept swinging. He was a boxer. He was a trained boxer. And he swung. And he whipped my ass. And I pissed myself, folks. I pissed myself. Because I was so scared. Because I didn't know what to do. Now, why do I remember that? 35 years later. Why do I remember that? Why is that so prominent today? Because the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that's where it is that we are today. What I went through then is where it is that we are today. The fear of fighting back. The fear, the true essence of fighting back. We have become a society of complainers, of wimps, of pussies. And that's who I was when I was in the fifth grade. I was a punk. I was a pussy. I was scared. I didn't know how to hit back or hit first. And now, oh, folks, now I hit back and I hit first. Now when I look at my enemy, I hit first. And this is what it is that I did on Poverty Supreme show that I'm ashamed of. I let people attack me, and I said, oh, it's okay. I'll just let them do what it is that they do, and I'll take the punches because I'm equipped for that. And that was the wrong way to go, folks. It will always be the wrong way to go because those people, not just Poverty Supreme's audience, but those people, they are the bullies. And now, in this day and age, we can't wait for them to strike. Now, we need to punch them square in the fucking face. Yes, I cursed. We need to punch them square in the face and let them know that we mean business. Now it's time to go on the attack. Now, people don't like that. But the truth be told, I'm not doing it anymore. Now, my New Year's resolution, as it were, after we do our last show tomorrow, until our one-year anniversary on January 3rd, now we go on the attack. Now, we go for blood. I'll go into Poverty before we go into the break. Go ahead, Poverty.
Brother, when you was on the show, I take my licking when I come on your show. As I said to you yesterday when you came on my broadcast, I take my licking when I'm on your show. No one don't agree with me. I go on many talk shows and state my opinion, and everyone's against me, and I still take them on. I was in your position when I was younger. I was an overweight kid. I used to get picked on, bullied. I had to stand up. I grew up in a single parent family, my mother, and he told me, someone hits you, you got to hit them back. I used to get bullied from many points of my life, and she told me, I said, Mom, what do I do about this? So she said, I said, Mom, what I do is that she can't fight my battles. So she said to me, I've got to hit him back. And since then, I ain't looked back. You understand? I ain't back since then. Now, when you came on my show, I never abandoned everyone attacking you. They were telling me to get you off. I still kept on. Because we've got to face these things. We can't keep on hiding behind. And this is another thing, Reese, you haven't listened to any of my broadcasts in the entirety. I don't say that we should sit down and keep on complaining to the devil, Whitey, about our problems. I say that we do something for ourselves. We do something about it. The police, yes, they keep on shooting down Black Hawk worldwide, wherever we are. And I say, why do we keep on complaining about this? Why do we want to go and stand up and riot when a white guy kills our people? But we ain't cleaning up our own houses. This is what I tell my people. So in some ways, we agree with each other. In some ways. That's what you've got to understand. I am in agreement that we need to fight back. We need to do for ourselves. Because Whitey ain't going to do shit for us. That's what I tell my people. I don't tell us to up and start killing people. I don't tell them we got to keep on complaining. I say, why do we keep complaining about foolishness? Things been happening since we were taken in slaves over the Western world. Why do we complain? We should do for ourselves. Stop begging for help. Stop begging for reparation. This can only make us stronger. As far as I'm concerned, you getting beaten by a bully and your uncle, your father-in-law, that can only make you stronger. That's what breeds men, brother. That's what breeds men.
And I appreciate. I appreciate. I appreciate. Yeah, I appreciate you're coming from, Polly screamed. But the truth be told, hold on. But the truth be told,
go.
You're going in and out. But the truth be told is that what it is that I've done for the longest, and I've done this for a long time, radio. I've done this for a long time. And the stakes are higher now. And what it is that I've done in the past cannot be the norm anymore. It cannot be. Now it is. See, what did it get me that I allowed people to be insulting and vicious and mean-spirited and whatever to me and just take the lumps? What has it gotten me? I look at that today. Hold on. But I look at that today and I go, it's gotten me nothing. And now, I'm not just talking about your audience. I'm talking about people who are opposition to my beliefs. And one thing that I know about conservatives is that we take the hits, we allow people to disgrace us and discredit us and to talk about us in a demeaning way, and we do nothing. We just prove our point. But the truth is that today, I think what most conservatives should do, and people like me should do, is stop it with the kindness. Your group and your people and people like you are not being kind to us. And it's time that we start hitting you where you've been hitting us for decades. And now it's time for us to hit below the belt. Now it's time for us to attack. That's the truth. Because your group and your believers have been wrong for so long, and it is no time to sit by and be bullied by your group. Now it is time for you to get punched in the mouth the way that we have been for so long. And that may be threatening, but the truth is, you deserve it.
Brother, I've got the mind to back it, so you can bring it all day long. I'm ready. I can hit below the bus bar. I'm happy. Let me hear your true feelings. Let me hear the white folks' true feelings. I prefer that. I like that. I would rather white folk know the truth. They hate me. I love that. I thrive off it. So bring that all on it all day. Oh, come on, and I will debate me. Oh, you guys. Any one of you. I think the fact that Chef Rocco, Chicago phoned in. Because I could do it by myself. And they said, I need him to come out there. You know, I prefer to come here by myself. At the end of the day, I'll have waste, you know. There's only people who can come here and fight and debate with you. I'm that man. I'm that. You guys want to hit below the butt, I can hit below the butt as well. But the people that you're defending, their history is in blood. We're going to deal with righteousness, and you ain't deal with no righteousness at the end of the day. So I'm ready for this. You lot can come hit below the butt, say what you want to say. Everything that I'm going to be saying is truth. At the end of the day, I'm saying to you, what I don't like is you've got that max in lots of racial statements, and you don't even simplifies that. I don't see racial gestures in a slight to him or any in your show. You understand? And I never said any. I respect you. I respect you going Don the Corleone show, and everyone's in against you. You still stand strong. You still stand strong. I respect that. That's why I came to your show. Because I respect me, this is a strong brother. He's strong in his bullshit.
Well, I appreciate.
That's why I listen to your broadcast. But I respect you, and I shouldn't have said I don't know about you. I do learn a lot from your show, because these are things that you talk about things in politics or things that actually happen that I wouldn't know about. I do learn something, so I take that. There is a lot to learn from your show. A lot of black folk. When I say, did you know about this? Things that I've heard you talking points on your
Well, no, I appreciate where it is that you're coming from.
I actually respect you. I don't have no disrespect.
Listen to me. Poverty, I know that you respect me. You have shown that. This isn't an indictment of you in general, but it's those who are very much in the like, and that sounds very vicious for me to say, but the truth be told, but it's people like you and the like who cannot deal with my politics. That's why they're afraid to call up on this show. I was stunned that a guy like Rob in Chicago would call the show like he did yesterday, and I hope he calls back. But we got to take a break, as we do at the bottom of the hour. We'll be back shortly. I got to play one of my favorite Christmas songs because even though I don't like this guy, I still play this song because it's one of my favorites. And we'll be back shortly. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com. Sorry, folks. I gotta play a better version of this song. It's time for De La Soul, baby.
Couldn't outshine a brigade of cars on the road down. But downtown down activity. I'm out to have fun without the problems that live with me. Not trying to be posh, but let's stay out the mosh pit. Tonight, keep my nose out of trouble. Everybody in my bubble's been free.
No beef, just party.
Of course, you're gonna have some clown niggas try to take us off course. Always lower levels trying to bring out the devil in us. Not condone, but it's known that a
party ain't a party if the thugs don't try to shut it down.
Tight security, and it's still soft. Can't offset 30 or plus one in the rush. Keep the door sealed, cause the floor's filled with action, and we don't need any distractions tonight, y'all.
Introduce me to your mademoiselle. I'm Tarzan, and she's my gazelle. I live at Biggs and say it's notorious. Travel through minds, emotions, and euphorias, glorious. As I get gray, still kinda smooth like way back in my old school tapes, I bring it pronto. Rep the BX like Billy Blanco.
Treat the troubles like cold, sweat it out, get it out, so we can get in the right mode, let it out. No need to pull on the throttle. If I could bottle this love, I wouldn't hesitate. Get it straight, wonder why I can medicate your soul when taking its toll, just for simply having the right record that can bring in the pull. And this must be the right one, y'all, cause the dance floor's full, cause that'll set it off and make the local DJ a star. But can I get a boost from the bass and the trouble? This record ain't for soothing, but for raising blood levels. We're simply having fun, but know that some don't like the music, that it promotes scrapping and global gun clapping, but still promote attacking in the clubs where I'm at, plus everywhere I go, so just realize the fact that we won't be denied that respect you try to hide. Shit, this ain't rock and roll.
The rapper's in control.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
I had to think for a while.
Reese on the Radio, and we're back live right here on blogtalkradio.com. 17 minutes to the top of the hour right here on this December the 20th, 2012, the day before Armageddon is supposed to happen, folks. That's right. It's about to be over. It's about to be over. Will you hug your relatives closer, people you love?
Mm-hmm.
Will you be kissing them and hugging them? JC, are you going to be doing that?
I'm telling you, I'm already into my trail mixes, man. three cases of trail mixes, four slingshots, and half a gallon of quarter water juice, babysitter juice, the welfare punch.
Yeah. You got water? Do you got quarter water?
Yeah, quarter water, like the gallon one.
Hey, listen, I got to do something that you are going to appreciate. You
really?
Are going to appreciate this, and only because I know who JC is. JC has a wrestling event that happens yearly around Christmas time that he calls
mm-hmm.
Season's Beatings. And this event is hilarious because it's called Season's Beatings as opposed to Season's Greetings. But I've got my own segment for this year, and I'm going to have it every year, just like we have Murder, Death, Kill the day after the 4th of July. Murder, Death, Kill, you guys know it. We're going to have it every year. But now I've got my own Season's Beatings that we are going to talk about this year. JC, I'm going to put you on hold. Hold on. I'm going to put you on hold because this is my intro to this year's inductees into Season's Beatings.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, it's time for Season's Beatings.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
That's right, folks. You got knocked the F out. This is a great story. This one comes out of a local Burger King. No, sorry, I apologize. This one comes out of McDonald's. I don't know why I said Burger King. This came out of a McDonald's. A Pennsylvania man has been charged with assault and disorderly conduct for his alleged rampage last month. This story is just coming out today. Last month at a McDonald's, a meltdown reportedly triggered when his drive-thru order contained a hamburger with an unwanted piece of cheese. It turns out that Sean Verone, who's 35 years old, was named in a district court criminal complaint filed yesterday at the York County, Pennsylvania court. According to cops, Verone became irate on November 30th. After he found cheese on a sandwich he had not ordered, after he was provided a second hamburger which also included cheese, Verone parked his vehicle and entered the McDonald's. Inside the restaurant, Verone allegedly began yelling at workers, one of whom he called a effing bitch, and demanded a refund. After getting his money back, Verone knocked over a trash can, picked up a children's high chair, and hoisted it above his head and threw it towards another dining table. It was a crowded restaurant, according to reports. As Verone departed the eatery, McDonald's, the McDonald's manager, Kathy Vasquez, followed him out onto the parking lot in an attempt to copy down his license plate number. When Verone realized that he was being tailed by this manager, he allegedly grabbed Vasquez and placed her in a headlock. He grabbed a cordless phone from her hand and smashed it to the ground. When a second McDonald's employee confronted him, Verone reportedly warned that he would fight the employee if he tried to stop him from leaving the parking lot. Vasquez, the female, suffered a sprained knee in a headlock and a fractured tibia during the scuffle. According to medical diagnosis provided by Springsbury Township Police Department, in addition to the two misdemeanor charges, Verone was also cited for criminal mischief for damaging a $50 cordless phone belonging to a McDonald's owner, a McDonald's manager. A preliminary hearing has been set for Verone. That's season's beatings. That's part one. I have to get to part two.
Let me comment. Can I comment quickly?
Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I'll let you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, it's time for season's beatings.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
And this story comes out of Chicago. A woman riding a Chicago Transit Authority Blue Line in Oak Park told police she was last week attacked by another passenger wielding a sock filled with human feces. He had a sock full of poop on me, says the 21-year-old college student. It was everywhere, on my face, my hair, my clothes. The victim requested anonymity. She said she screamed and tried to follow the attacker, but he escaped the Austin Boulevard exit and ran northbound on Austin. The college student, who came to Oak Park 6 weeks ago to live with a family and provide in-home health care, says she was riding an eastbound train from Oak Park, Chicago, where she was attacked. The guy got on with me at the Oak Park station. I wasn't really paying attention. Next stop at Austin, he throws something in my face. The Oak Park Police Commissioner, Landon Reynolds, said officers responded by searching for the man in and around a gas station at Harrison Street, but did not find him. Reynolds said police retrieved a photo of a person of interest, matching the description the woman and other witnesses gave. The man was videotaped on the Austin platform. We have photos of the offender. We're seeking to identify him. We've reached out to other police agencies and have issued a bulletin. So the woman was in essence struck by a sock of shit. She was attacked by a sock of shit for no reason whatsoever. But folks, it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. It ain't over yet.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, it's time for season's beating.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
This story, which is probably my favorite, a furious diner, fed up, waiting for his check at a Denny's, decides that he's going to get retribution in a way unheard of. And I'll have to be honest with you, folks. I wish I could get away with doing this. An impatient diner at a Denny's restaurant was so irate at being made to wait for his bill that he decided to take matters into his own hands. According to reports, this patron
set fire to the Christmas tree at the local Denny's. He was so angry that he had to wait so long for his bill that his response in San Antonio, Texas, was to set fire to the Christmas tree and walked out, and no one knows who he is. This son of a bitch turned around and said, I've had enough. I'm not waiting anymore for this. Check. And he set the Denny's on fire. There's nothing worse than that. And there it is, folks. Your season beatings for the year.
Ladies and gentlemen, and children of all ages, it's time for season beatings.
You got knocked the fuck out, man.
JC, what did you want to say before I finish those stories?
Okay, first off, the guy did the neighborhood a favor. I should burn damn Denny's down.
Well, it turned out he didn't do that much damage. He only did about $150,000 worth of damage to the Denny's.
Oh man, wow. Okay. With their current prices, of course. Don't have it paid for in about 3 weeks. Secondly, I applaud the shitty soccer assailant.
Whoa,
I think everybody, especially on public transportation, should get smacked with a shitty sock.
A sock of shit.
A sock of shit.
As Sally D just texted me, he said, a sock of shizzle. I freaking love it.
But that very first story,
what's that?
I can relate to that story.
Which story can you relate to, JC?
The very first one. Anybody who's ever gone out to me where I've gone out to dinner for like or lunch or any kind of restaurant where they're serving sandwiches, I always tell them a half a slice of cheese on my sandwich.
Really?
Yes. You go to McDonald's and get a 99-cent double cheeseburgers? Oh, I take them apart, dissect them, and peel the cheese off.
So you're
especially if it's American cheese.
These people are ignorant. Now, I have to tell you that I'm going to say this. I'm going to bring Dennis the Mass Medicine in a minute, and of course Poverty Supreme is on the line as well. Folks, and if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-308-8701. Let me say this. This is my biggest gripe in the world, folks. I'm going to tell you this, and I've told you this before. On WRKO, I told you this before. I go to a bar, and I ask for a Sam Adams beer. It's my favorite draft beer in the world. It's my favorite. The waitress always says when I ask, and I don't know who this bitch is, and I don't know what the F is her problem, but this bitch always says the same thing to me. She says, do you want a Sam regular or the season? And my response to her is, bitch, did you hear me say seasonal? Did you hear me say winter air or Oktoberfest? No. You heard me say, let me get a Sam Adams. Why are you asking me if I want a seasonal when you only heard me say Sam Adams? Do you think that I'm ill-equipped to recognize that Sam has several frickin' flavors? I said, can I get a tall Sam Adams? It's like asking a frickin' denunciant, can I get a hamburger? And then the idiot saying, do you want cheese on that? Did I ask for cheese, idiot? No. I said, can I get a hamburger? I mean, do I not know that cheese exists? And that's the problem.
That's the reason why this lunatic went nuts. That's why he went ape shit. It's because he said, can I get a hamburger? And some idiot said, he might like cheese. He seems a cheese type. That's the society we live in today.
No, my problem with cheese, as and where it relates to sandwiches, is this. This is the only country in the world with this, with the nastiest, with its very own nastiest slice of processed cheese named for it. You go to other countries, you can get Swiss cheese out of Switzerland. You can get Gouda out of Germany. I mean, you can get it here too, but these are cheeses from around the world. But you're coming to get a slice of American cheese, you're getting 50-50 oil, 50-50 vegetable oil, hydrogenated, something that looks disgusting, tastes disgusting, melts disgusting, that come in single slice. Dude, single slice is with its own wrapper. So, and more than likely, every place you go to, they want to slap on a slice of American cheese. If they have American cheese, yellow, white, I don't want it. Give me a half. I'll take a half of it. Just because I want a different kind of taste on my sandwich. Other than...
No, we lost you, JC. But that's okay. We're going into the top of the hour anyway. Folks, we'll be back shortly. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around, because you know we will be. We got plenty of stuff to talk about right here on Reese on the Radio. And I'm probably not going to get into Benghazi's report. I'm done with that story. I'm not hounding it the way that I used to. So give us a break. We'll be back shortly. Stick around. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Warning, the sound you're about to hear can be devastating to your ear.
I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it, I love it.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Everybody talking about gun control. Gotta get rid of the guns. No, Dad, I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. Oh, man. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. Yeah. Yeah. Every time somebody gets shot, they'll be like, damn, he must have did something. They put $50,000 on the bullets in his ass. And people are safe before they kill somebody. If a bullet costs $5,000, man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job. I'm gonna start saving some money. And you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway.
Reese on the Radio, we are back and we are live right here on blogtalkradio.com. I bring up the Chris Rock audio because Chris Rock obviously went on Twitter talking about how we need to end the quote-unquote assault weapons ban. We need to reinstate it, as he put it. And I wanted to play that audio because I wanted people to hear Chris Rock talking. I love guns. I love guns. It's okay at one point, but then it turns out that, you know, after 20 white children are killed, then he's against it. And that's it.
Yeah.
Go ahead, JC. Make your point.
I don't know what the hell happened.
You don't know what the hell happened with what?
I started downing American cheese and I got kicked the hell offline.
Nah, that's all right. Don't worry about that. Truth be told, ladies and gentlemen, that this whole gun control thing, people are being caught. They're being caught in their own lies. They're being caught telling bullshit, the best way to put it. They're being caught. And this whole gun control argument is now obviously caught up with them. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with them being caught out there with their claims, if you will. But, folks, what I want you to hear is the most bogus statement I've ever heard in my entire life. Folks, did you know that President Obama yesterday says that Joe Biden is going to be the head of the new anti-gun laws that are about to come to your city or town? And listen to what it is that President Obama had to say about Joe Biden.
The fact that this problem is complex can no longer be an excuse for doing nothing. The fact that we can't prevent every act of violence doesn't mean we can't steadily reduce the violence and prevent the very worst violence. That's why I've asked the Vice President to lead an effort that includes members of my cabinet and outside organizations to come up with a set of concrete proposals no later than January, proposals that I then intend to push without delay. This is not some Washington commission. This is not something where folks are going to be studying the issue for 6 months and publishing a report that gets read and then pushed aside. This is a team that has a very specific task to pull together real reforms right now. I asked Joe to lead this effort in part because he wrote the 1994 crime bill that helped law enforcement bring down the rate of violent crime in this country. That plan, that bill also included the assault weapons ban that was publicly supported at the time by former presidents, including Ronald Reagan. The good news is there's already a growing consensus for us to build from. A majority of Americans support banning the sale of military-style assault weapons. A majority of Americans support banning the sale of high-capacity ammunition clips. A majority of Americans support laws requiring background checks before all gun purchases so that criminals can't take advantage of legal loopholes to buy a gun from somebody who won't take the responsibility of doing a background check at all.
Now, Joe Biden is going to be the head of this new commission trying to make things difficult for gun owners. Oh, really? Well, folks, I'd like to play some audio for you that you're going to love. Some audio that you're going to appreciate. In 2008, when Joe Biden was running against his president, Barack Obama, he said something that I think each and every one of you can appreciate. And please, Mike, White Mike,
Call up now. I need you on the phone. Listen to what Joe Biden said about Barack Obama and gun control laws 4 years ago.
I guarantee you, Barack Obama ain't taking my shotguns, so don't buy that malarkey. Don't buy that malarkey. They're gonna start peddling that to you. I got two. If he tries to fool my Beretta, he's got a problem.
Barack Obama, if he tries to take my shotgun, he's got a problem.
I guarantee you, Barack Obama ain't taking my shotguns, so don't buy that malarkey. Don't buy that malarkey. They're gonna start peddling that to you. I got two. If he tries to fool my Beretta, he's got a problem.
If he tries to take my Beretta, he's got a problem. I love catching these sons of bitches in their own honest debate is completely bull. It's complete bull. There he is. And I love it. I'm going to bring Sally D in as well. There's my man, White Mike, is on the line right now. White Mike.
Yeah, what's up, Reese?
You heard Joe Biden.
Isn't it the same administration that sold thousands of assault rifles to Mexican cartels?
That's right.
They're totally okay to sell to Mexican cartels, but nobody else can have them.
Right.
That's the same administration that's been placing massive orders for hundreds of thousands of rounds of ammunition, new rifles, new handguns, but nobody else can have them. The serfs can't have the arms to defend themselves against the oppressor.
Yeah, but why isn't anybody going right to Barack Obama at a press conference and going, hey, you just pretty much gave the guy who put the guy in charge that says, you ain't coming for my Beretta.
Well, you know, I, with this administration, I wonder sometimes if they're just ridiculously cocky and they think they can do anything because the media is on their side, or they're so terribly inept that they never do research before they announce something.
That's a good point. That is a brilliant point. Sally D is on the line with us as well. Hello, Sally.
What's going on, guys? A couple quick thoughts, and I'll touch on one of the points that you just played, that clip of Biden. You know, it sounds like, on the surface, like he didn't have a clue what he was saying, but when you look really at what he said, he could then turn that around and say, well, I still hold true to that. Neither of those weapons are high-capacity weapons.
Right.
And that's exactly what I say to that comment.
That's exactly what I thought, Sally, when I heard it. I said, he can make an argument that says, I wasn't talking about assault rifles. I was talking about a Beretta. I was talking about a shotgun. I was not talking about an AR-15.
The part for me, and you know, you guys were talking a lot about different topics last night. I want to touch on one topic, but to this point, what kills me is you could take a legal knife, 4 inches in some states and under, and take out 30 people in less than 10 minutes if you know what you're doing and you know where to go. And yet, they want to focus on a gun in a state that had, you know, very stringent gun laws, when the issue isn't about the law. It was about this woman who had a kid who had this condition and left guns laying around the house.
Sally, you and I talked about this extensively after it happened on Friday. You and I said the same thing, and I think that you and I are really, you and I have been spot on about this, is that this kid was in a household with an autistic or Asperger, whatever it may have been, and this woman left guns around available for a 5-year-old kid who was thinking or may have thought about the destruction of others.
It's just ridiculous. Now, here's the best part of all of this. You like to have a cynical look at things. which I do at times. I read a story, Walmart sold out of their guns, okay? Do you think Walmart would have sold out of those weapons had all this talk, anti-gun talk, been happening? Absolutely not.
Oh, of course not. It happens every time the government talks about some kind of ban. Gun
That's
sales
right.
go through the roof. People who would never think of buying an AR-15 or an AK rush out and buy them because the government says, ooh, you can't have these soon. It's
Absolutely.
Human nature to want what's taboo. I mean, why do you think people look at pornography and go to strip clubs and buy drugs? Because you're not supposed to do it, and there's a taboo attached to it.
And the problem I have with that is that what ends up happening is counter to what they want to accomplish, because then you have people who buy guns that should never purchase these weapons, who don't take the time to train themselves on the weapon, who don't have a discipline for the weapon, and yet they've got their house, you know, they've got four or five of them laying around, half of them loaded or not locked up or whatever. You know, it's just, it's absurd, and they create larger issues from the ridiculous kind of banter. And the fact is, they're not going to pass a ban on weapons. They're going to, they may get, I don't even think they'll be able to pass a weapon on this high capacity. I'm not sure on that, but my guess is it's going nowhere. So the effect ends up being that, I don't know how many, I don't know the numbers, I should look it up. Maybe 30,000 people own guns today that would never purchase them based on this crap. You know?
Well, that's interesting. Let me go to Dennis, the mass menace. Dennis, thank you for joining the show. I thought we were losing you for a while. Thank you for coming back, Dennis. We miss you, man.
Well, things haven't changed from the things I discussed to you privately.
Okay, yeah,
but
that's,
I was wondering,
that's okay.
Do you want fries with
that?
What do you think about
this topic? Because this is something.
Are you
going to
talk
I
about
think...
the gun? Or you're going to talk about the perp? Because I have opinions on both.
Oh, we'll go with both.
The perp, and I don't think any of you read SpiritDaily.com. Seems like the boy was a Satan worshiper.
Oh, really?
And
yeah. Well,
there's
I've
always
heard
a
that
demonic
the
in all
thing.
This. Pardon me?
I've heard that before.
I just saw this today. In fact, I guess they couldn't bring him even to the barbers because he spooked out the barbers or was spooked for
really?
Something. Yes.
Well, what is your view on this the whole gun control debate? Like,
I don't want guns in my house. I wouldn't use them. There is the problem is the pesky little
mama. Hold on, hold on. Wait. You sound like the caucus here, man.
Wait a second. I'm not finished. The problem is the pesky little comma in the Second Amendment. You know, the one that's saying regulated militia. That hasn't been decided. Having said that, it is my personal view that the whole point of the Second Amendment was to protect the individual citizens from the government when the government becomes oppressive. And it isn't the gun, it is the person. Because, as you know, Timothy McVeigh never used a gun to kill all those people in Oklahoma City.
Right.
He used, I don't see anybody getting a U-Haul ban or a fertilizer ban or an ammonia ban, do you?
No, you don't. You're right.
And the question is, what are you have to do to defend yourself? Is it to defend yourself and hoping that the police will come? But, of course, however, the police cannot go at the speed of a bullet. By that, a bullet will be faster than a cop to defend you, to kill you, or to defend yourself. And I think the statistics would show in areas that have more guns and people that know how to use them, that crime is down. And no matter what happens in a horrific murder like this, you're always going to have them somewhere, no matter what. And the debate is never going to end about gun control. And as to Joe Biden, maybe Perhaps maybe, I can send it out there, maybe he traded his manhood for his Beretta.
That's an interesting perspective. But let me ask you this. Truth be told, when we think about the area of people who want to have guns to protect themselves,
mm-hmm.
right? If it's okay for them to have a gun to protect themselves, right? If
criminals
okay,
are always going to have guns. So let's not kid ourselves.
Right.
All the laws aren't going to prevent people from getting guns and to using them in a manner that's going to be destructive. Look at Chicago and then look
See, you said the word destructive. The only people who
mm-hmm.
are using guns in the destructive way are those who are not abiding by the law.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about. So if you have gun control laws, it's not going to stop those people who want them anyway, and to come out and kill you. So I don't see the point of having additional gun control laws. Maybe we should turn on its head and have less restrictive gun laws and see how that works.
Hey guys, can I ask a question about that whole gun show issue? Mike, you might have some facts on this. I don't really know a lot about it. Are people able to go to these gun shows and purchase a gun without brandishing ID or having their name registered somewhere? Is that?
I want to hear that. Mike just hung up briefly.
Okay.
Mike, I would like to hear that from you because you're really really prolific and very informed about the gun control and the laws in general about sort of the gun lobby, if you will. And
well, yeah, you're hearing about the gun show, the particular to gun shows themselves, right? I've heard several politicians say we have to remove the gun show loophole, which doesn't incur a federal ID background check. My question is, okay, it doesn't incur a federal background check, but I imagine your name must go down. You must show ID, and if you're in a state that doesn't have a law that allows you to purchase across borders, I'd imagine your name goes on that, gets forwarded to the state. It sounds absurd if that is true, that you can go to a state, drive in to that state on a gun show day, don't give ID, give cash, and buy a gun. I'd be blown away if that's actually.
Yeah,
I
don't think that that's the case with these people who are buying guns at gun shops.
Right. So what's the loophole? I'm trying. I could look it up. I haven't done the research on it.
I've got a question for Sally.
Yep.
Sal, you and I and Reese, well, have the connection with the Commonwealth. Do you remember Bartley Fox?
Bartley Fox. Name isn't ringing a bell.
Okay, Bartley Fox Law, from Speaker Bartley and Representative Fox, whoever the hell he was, remember, it's the, if you don't have a license to carry, you get a one-year mandatory sentence in the Commonwealth, and they put those signs up at every state border entrance, welcome to Massachusetts, and then it says, new gun control law, this is in the 70s, Bartley Fox. Do you recall anybody lately that's been going for the mandatory 1 year? I don't.
No, absolutely not.
So what the hell is the point of having all these gun control laws? If they're not, the other question it begs, if you have all these laws, what point is it if you're not going to enforce it? And if you try to enforce it, if the judges don't carry it out?
I agree 100%. And, you know, the reality is...
Isn't it just window dressing to make everyone think they're feeling good, they thought they accomplished something? You know how it works with the media and the polls. Make some noise, make it look like you're doing something, and then move on.
The people buying the weapons that are using them for ill reasons are probably not buying legal weapons, first of all. And the
right.
people that buy legal weapons in Massachusetts, as you know, Dennis, are, you know, in my city, you have to go visit, and I think in most cities, actually, in Massachusetts, you have to visit the chief of police and talk to him.
Yes, the chief.
But a simple
FID.
The
chief has the final say in the Commonwealth.
Exactly. And that reeks of political favor. I mean, I don't, you know, the chief
And you can't go to a different chief of a different town. You have to go to the one where you reside.
Exactly.
If he doesn't like you, you're out of luck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where does his power come into play with any kind of law? It blows me away that that's actually how it's stated in Mass. But, you know, this is the
where is that in the Constitution? You have the right to carry arms unless the police chief says no? What the hell is this?
Well, I got a funny story. I have a friend of mine who's in law enforcement, and I called him up, and I asked him the question, because he's a friend of mine. And I said, so if I wanted to apply, how would I – he says to me, you know, I think they gave out all they're going to give out this year. And I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, they have a certain number they give out, and after that they just don't do it. That's not the official answer, but that's the real answer, which disturbed me, because an FID is mandatory to give unless you prove someone cannot have one for you know, because
they
have a record.
That's the word I was saying. It's the FID cut. If you don't have the FID cut, it's a mandatory 1 year minimum.
No, I understand. But
I don't remember anybody going to the joint lately for not having the FID card.
You cannot be denied an FID card if you don't have a record. They have to issue it. It's a must issue. It's just a matter of how long it processes. But the bottom line is the answer I got from this guy on the back end was they have a little system that they use. And it cracked me up when he told me that. So, you know, I can look it up tonight if he doesn't call back. But there's so many different levels. In some states, you can conceal carry. You don't even have to register. And in here, I mean, in this state, it's just out of control. So,
other Massachusetts news, Reese, I don't know if you know, a state representative from Everett just pled guilty for election fraud.
I heard about that story today.
And I have some sad news. Scott Brown's father died.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, the former Newburyport city councilor. Scott announced it on his Facebook page this evening.
Well, you know,
Scott, early
70s. Scott's a guy, and I'm a big fan of his wife, who's a very, very good person. Gail Huff, and you know, she's a friend of mine on Facebook. She friended me on Facebook. I was as stunned as anybody would be. That she friended me on Facebook, and I miss her because she was on my show on opening night, opening day, I should say, opening day at Fenway Park in 2008. I think it's April 5th was opening day of 2008. That was the year after, of course, the Red Sox won the World Series, and she was a guest on my show. And Gail is a good person and a good woman, and you know, I miss her, and you know, I hope that I get to talk to her soon. Scott's running for we'll talk about that in a little bit because he's got another ace up his sleeve, and that's going to be happening very, very soon. We'll talk about that when we get back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in a minute. Mike, call back because I got to ask you a question about this gun thing. Very, very important question when we get back.
Take it back to the days of yes, y'all. We're holding on to what's golden. bringing the change. We tight like dreadlocks, a red fox, a ripple. We pass participles and smash the artists in you. The saga continues, this I won't get into, cause there ain't enough bars to hold the drama that we've been through.
Yo, we still the same with a little fame, a little change in the household name, but ain't too much change. We in the game, yo, but not to be vain. I refrain from salt grain to season up my name. We entertain for a mutual game from close range. Steady aim, my drum at your head to hit the brain. I'm labor ready, roll scholar for the dollar. Work for mine, pay me by the hour.
We're not falling, we take it back to the days of just showing. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I raise and I'm rolling.
We're not falling, a shot calling. We take it back to the days of just showing. We're holding on to what's golden.
On the stage, I raise and I'm rolling.
Magic, the hot music.
Verbal Herman Munster, the word enhancer, sick of phony monsters controlling the dance floor. I'm in them dark places, catch you when you stark naked. Your heart races as we poke you for your chart spaces. The taunt tastes me bringing these hot styles through. Some of you bum a few cheers from shock value. Word power can plow through acres of cornfields. Paragraphs cut like warm steel, perform ill.
We're not falling, we're taking back to the days of yes, yawning. We're holding on to what's golden.
Sorry, folks. If I may, I need to dedicate this song to my wife, Mary Hopkins, who literally has made me and has helped me recognize heaven. I wouldn't have heaven without her. I love you, baby.
Yeah!
live right here on blogtalkradio.com. That's Bruno Mars. And I had to dedicate that to my wife. I love her. And, you know, she has given me heaven. So that's what I love about her. It is roughly about 25 minutes to the top of the hour. Anyway, let's go to Julie in Boston calling Reese on the radio. Hello, Julie.
Hey.
How are you?
Mary burning it up between the sheets, I guess. You go, girl. I love
She'll like hearing that.
I love it. Well, I told you I was going to try to call in because it's just there's too much testosterone on the show most nights. We need a woman every so often to call in, I think.
Okay. Okay.
And I was calling because I took a class a couple of years ago with this woman whose husband was the police chief in Belmont. And you remember Belmont, right, when you used to live here?
Of course.
Like kind of hoity-toity, you know? And she said that every so many years, I guess, they have to go and front of the town, like the city council, and request new weapons or money to be put in the budget for them to get new weapons. And two of the city councilors said to them, well, you know, really there's not a lot of crime in Belmont. Is it necessary for you to even have to carry weapons? Like, do we even need to budget this type of thing? And he looked at her and he says, so yeah, there's not a lot of crime in Belmont, but what do you think is going to happen as soon as the criminals find out that Belmont police are unarmed? Do you think the crime is going to go up here?
That's an interesting question, Julie, because I've gone through that. My argument here has always been about whether or not people being disarmed hurts their community as opposed to being armed. And this is an important question. I think that you as a woman, because everybody says that, you know, women are much more sensible and sensitive and all that other stuff. So I'm going to ask you this, and it's going to be a tough question for you, okay? There is now an argument that's being made today that that people in schools should be armed with a gun so that in the event of a situation like happened in Newtown, they can deter that threat by having a firearm. You as a woman with young children, and your boys are young.
Yep.
Would you be okay with that?
I don't think I would have a problem with it. The only thing I see is people always get to guns. Like, if they know there's a gun somewhere. I mean, this kid's mother had guns. I don't know if they were locked up, but people have guns that are locked up and somehow somebody manages to get to them. So if you know that there's guns in the school, what's to keep some kid from getting to them and using them? That's the only concern I might have.
I understand that. I understand that. But my question to you is, your son is at a school where the teacher has a pistol inside the school.
Yeah, I don't think I have a problem with that.
You don't have a problem?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Whoa.
I mean, where he goes to school now is pretty safe. I feel pretty good. And I would say, he's only in elementary school, but obviously killing just happened in an elementary school.
But Julie, let's be honest. You don't know whom in your neighborhood is a freaking psychopath. You don't know. You have no clue.
I know. Well, believe me, in my neighborhood, I think I know who the psychopaths are, if you can see where I live. But he goes to school in a different town than where we live. But you're right. There's a large variety of people there. So,
what family has a kid who's a denunt, a psychopath, an idiot? You don't know. You don't know what kid that is. But wait. But wouldn't you feel safer knowing that there's a kid in your school, or there's a person in your school, I shouldn't say kid, but a person in your school that's got a gun that can fire off a round if someone...
Yeah, I think I would.
But
I don't see why. There's so many veterans that I see, whether or not they're actually veterans or not, but they're always on the street saying, you know, homeless veteran. why can't you take these guys off the street? They have military training and have them work in the schools and give them a job so they're not on the street.
This is true. This is true. Why
I mean,
not?
You know, they obviously know how to handle a weapon. Give them a job, get them off the street, and have them work with the kids.
Now, okay. Now, Julie, listen. I'm going to do something that you probably weren't prepared for.
Mm-hmm.
I want to let everybody know that Julie is I consider her a personal friend of mine. And Julie's
in
Massachusetts. She's always been a supporter of Reach on the Radio in what it is that I've done. She's always shown a major support. But Julie's got a problem with White Mike. Now, Julie, don't go anywhere. Don't run.
I'm not running.
Okay, don't run. Mike has really gotten underneath the essence of Julie in Boston. And
mm-hmm.
she recently expressed her discomfort with White Mike and his use of the word nigger.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to let you express what your displeasure is, and then I'm going to invite White Mike back on the show. I'm hoping that he's still listening, White Mike. White Mike, you've got to call in on this. My computer is doing weird things to me right now, and I'm going to make sure that I get you on the air. But she's got issues, or she had issue with Mike using the word nigger. She's upset about that. So I'm going to let Julie go first here. Julie?
Okay.
What's your issue is with White Mike or the use of the word in general?
Okay, well, first I'm going to go with the word nigger. Like, I have a problem with it only because, I have no problem. I have a filthy mouth. I have no problem cursing somebody out if they need to be cursed out. But I feel like those kind of words, like a kike or a nigger, like, that's something that nobody has control over. Like, you can't help how you were born, you know?
Right.
So that's like saying that somebody's less of a human being or less of a person because they are that, and they have no control over that. I mean, to say, you know, you're a bitch or, you know, you're being an asshole or whatever, like, you can just stop doing that. Like, stop being an asshole. Like, you have control over that. So I have no problem calling you a fat ass or whatever. Go on a diet. Like, you can deal with that. But just to call you a nigger, like, that's just – there's nothing you can do about that. And that's just, like, too – that's, like, just too much. You know what I mean? That's just, like, to the core of a person. And they have no control over that. You have no control over what color you were born or what
race
you were born.
When Mike uses the word nigger – you're saying that no one has a defense of that word.
No, and like, when he says it, he says it so often, and with all the other stuff he says, like, oh, it's like a black nuclear family or good credit or whatever, it makes, maybe he's just doing it to be a wise ass or whatever, or he's trying to get a rise out of people, but to me, it really makes me feel like he dislikes black people, like the way that he says it, not just like a particular black person, like all black people, because he insults them as an entire race of people, you know. And
so you're saying that when he uses terms like, you know, as he said on last night's show about the black myth, that there are the black nuclear family, he says that's a myth, or these black myths, you were offended by that because you sent me an email where you were really offended by his words when he said that.
Yeah, because, you know, like I say, I feel like that's him insulting an entire race of people, and he really feels like that about black people. I mean, I guess you could say one person in particular. If you just meet somebody and you want to say they're like that, okay. But to say it in a general way, it just makes me feel like he really dislikes black people, and I have an issue with that, you know. I mean, I would just never... Like I said, I have no problem cursing you out up and down the road, but I could never, like, go up to a Jew and say, hey, kike, well, hey, you know, gook or something. Like, I would never say that to a person. It's just, I don't know. I just have a real problem with those particular words.
Wait. Well, hold on. But in Mike's argument yesterday, on yesterday's show, when he was arguing with two black men about the subject of victimhood, which was the premise of our show yesterday, did you agree with most of what it was that Mike said? Yes or no?
Oh, yeah. And, like, when he told what's-his-face there, Poverty Supreme, that he sounds like he has a bunch of dicks in his mouth, like, that was hilarious. Like, I could deal with that kind of insult because he does sound like that, and he can do something about it. Like, that was funny. But, you know, just to say in general, call black people niggers, and he just, I don't know, he just, the way he talks, just everything in general about White Mike, he talks about himself like he's all that, like I'm banging these hot strippers and whatever. And he just comes off as the biggest redneck mother effer, thinks he is all that in a bag of chips, and it's like, oh, please. Like, it's just you, like, nigga, please. Nigga, please, get over yourself, okay? You ain't all that, honey.
But this is a great perspective coming from a woman. And that's why I respect you, Julie. I love you. You're one of my favorites.
Well, I love this woman.
I love you as much as I possibly can. You know, without getting.
I like this woman. Why hasn't she called in before?
Because I'm not really usually that comfortable talking live on the radio, but I just told Lisa I would because I'm getting up to my eyeballs. And when he insults people's religion,
listen,
I mean,
you've got an open invitation.
No.
As long as I'm here on the show, you've got an open invitation. I will hold the door open for you.
I love
you.
You
get
thank
here,
you.
I'll sign your shoes if you need them.
Julie promised tonight that she was going to call in. She promised to call in because she wanted to address Mike and his views. And she honored promise.
He's just so insulting. He insults people's religion. I mean, he makes fun of people who believe in God, and he's just so insulting. Like, and he's so above it. And he's
insult
so much better
Mike.
Than you. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than you.
He's a hater of everyone.
That's all right. I hate pretty much everybody too. Like, I'm down with that. But you know, I just
he said it was conviction and such passion.
But I love it though. No. See, this is the why,
I mean,
Julie, you waited.
Maybe he's a better person than me, because he says it out loud. Like, I'll say it behind closed doors that I hate people. I would never say it out in public. So maybe he's a better person than me, because he'll just say it like it is out loud, and I wouldn't do that because I don't want to hurt people. Like, to bitch in your own house is one thing, but I just would never want to upset people like that. So
you can do that behind a microphone, though.
All the time. But the point of the matter was that Julie promised that she would call in tonight because she did want to confront Mike on this topic and several topics. But Julie has been, and folks, let me tell you this, okay? I got to make it absolutely clear. If there's ever a fan of this show and all of its members, from Dennis the Mass Menace, Sally Dean, you know, White Mike, JC the producer, and my wife, Mary Mir, why you bugging? It is this woman, Julie in Boston. And Julie, you
That's
know,
it.
We love you. We love you on this show.
Oh, Carmen says hello. He just came in. The rummy's leaving.
Did Carmine just show up?
Yeah.
Get Carmine on the phone. Let me talk to Carmine real quick.
Hang on.
Hello.
Hey, what's up, Carmine?
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. I've been dying to hear your voice, personally.
You have. And well,
let me
last
say,
time you heard my voice, we went to a movie.
What's that?
At Circle Cinema. Last time you heard my voice, we went to Circle Cinema, and was it Brookline? You took us all out, remember?
That's right. I took you to go see Hancock with Will Smith.
Yeah, you took a bunch of us out.
Yeah,
and that was something I have never seen a radio show host ever do for anyone.
You see,
that was
that?
Amazing.
You see that? Now let me say something to Carmine that I love about him. You know what it is I love about Carmine? Carmine did one thing that makes me laugh more than anything ever. Ever.
What, Mary Julie? No, I'm kidding.
Carmine is a badass. He won't let you know that, but he's a badass. He's a real, real badass. Okay? Look him up. Look up Carmine and Julie. You can't miss them on Facebook. You can't miss them. These are the only people that I know of that literally go to war on Facebook, and they don't care. That's the reason why I love them, because they're honest.
I don't care. You know what the thing is? I don't care, but a lot of it is because I am completely beside myself. I give, like, the opposition or whoever it is I'm talking to, usually it's a liberal, all the benefit of the doubt, and I stand by I stand by myself. I say, what the hell are these people on? I mean, seriously, if you just look at what they say sometimes, and it really boggles my mind. I try to understand them. You know, even a psychologist tries to understand the most weird, screwed up minds, and they have, you know, terminology for every type of disease. We haven't found one for liberals yet, because I don't understand it. I really don't understand. People know that I'm the most empathetic person. I can sit down, I can talk to them, whatever they're going through, I can sort of put myself in their shoes. I can't do it with a liberal, because it totally, I don't understand it. I just don't understand them. And it's just the social aspect of it. The rest of it, I sort of, you know, blah, but I mean, I just don't understand the social aspects of how they think, and they all stand together like one. It's like they don't have their own mind to think. You ask a liberal a question, you can get the same answer if you ask it to 98 out of 100 of them. And you have to ask yourself, how can they all be thinking the same way, even with new stuff that comes out? And it just boggles my mind that they think, and I know it's an ideology. It has to be something that's so screwed up, and somehow, I don't know what it is. I'm, you know, just guide me nuts.
Listen to me, you have succinctly, you have clearly expressed exactly what it is that each and every one of us are trying to figure out. But I'm done with figuring them out, Carmine. I'm done with it. Aren't you done with it?
It just boggles my mind. It just boggles my mind. I have to, like, it's really, you know, the real war in this world is really a war of ideologies. If you look at probably every single war that's ever happened, it's been one tribe against another tribe, one ideology against another one, your group against mine. It's always an ideology. And when people fight for an ideology, I don't care what label you put on it, people will fight to death for that ideology. And even if you show them something else is true, what you believe is false, they're not going to believe it. I mean, look at how many cults are out there and religions. I mean, it's the same thing. Liberalism is a religious ideology. That's what it is. It just has a different way of using words. They don't call it God. They call it something else, but it's what they believe in. And God forbid you say something against their God.
Wow. You know what? It couldn't have been posted. It couldn't have been expressed better than that. Sally D, you're in Massachusetts. I know you agree with guys like Sally D.
Yeah, you know what? I gotta say, and this is at the risk of defending the undefendable, the indefensible, is White Mike. For me, I think it's all about the shtick. I think he's doing shtick, and he's trying to offend as many people as he possibly can within the 2-hour time frame that he's usually on. I believe he believes most of what he says to his core, but he does it in a way because he is trying to get people going, and he's trying to be entertaining. But we've had that conversation about, you know, the whole N-word thing. For me, there are two words that just don't come out of my mouth. One is the N-word and one is the C-word. And the reason is, it's not so much that they connotate true feeling. I just find them personally vile words because they carry so much weight.
Well,
that makes a lot of sense, because if I were, say, as a white guy, say the N-word, or as a guy, say the C-word to a woman, what you're doing is that what you're thinking in your head is not the same thing as when a black guy says it to another black guy. He's thinking, he's my brother, but he's an asshole, and he makes us look bad, so he uses that word. When a white guy uses it, she's not thinking in the same terminology, I guess. She's thinking differently about it. And even if I were to say jokingly, it would always come out wrong, you know. So it's like, you're right. I mean, it's what there's so much baggage that comes with all these words. And that's another thing, too. That's what liberals do. Liberals add baggage to words that are normal words. So this way, now you're a homophobe if you believe in marriage is only for a man or a woman. You know, I mean, they make it so that you can't believe anything. It's like, what is that movie that Orson Welles or somebody came out in 1984? It's like, you know, the certain type of speak.
Oh, you're talking about Orwell.
Today.
You're talking about Orwell.
Yeah.
Orwell.
Exactly. It's the same idea. We're in that kind of society where, like, you can't say certain things because it's not part of the speech that they want you to say. And then they, you know, find you, they identify you, they separate you, and then you're all done.
That's correct. And, you know, Reese and I had a discussion not long ago. Back in the 1970s, if you said the N-word, it was a bad thing to do. It was the beginning of busing. There was all this stuff going on. But I'm going to tell you, you say it today, and it's worse because we are a more divided culture today. And so what ends up happening is that you're, like, I was listening to the show last night. Mike was throwing a bunch of statistics at the two gentlemen on the phone, Poverty Supreme and the other guy. I can't remember his name.
Rob in Chicago.
All that was, on one side, you had these black gentlemen that were really angry and could really not defend a lot of their what happens in the black neighborhoods. And you had Mike incensing them further. And that's just a picture of society and what happens every day.
Oh, absolutely. That's exactly what happens. It's like they never are able to sit down and speak eye to eye and come to an understanding because the language and the words they use mean different things to each other, you know what I mean? So to me, that's, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like talking about society, too, and culture. That's the biggest problem since, like, the 80s when we started having this globalization stuff where, I mean, I used to be able to say, you know, if I went to China, I would find something different. If I went down to the South, I would love to have a mom-and-pop store or whatever. Everything is almost, like, the same everywhere you go. What they're doing is that they're removing every fragment of old culture that existed and replacing it with a new culture that has no tradition, has nothing but what they say and put meaning to. And that's the problem in the world today. I go to Italy, I'll find Target in Italy. It's like I used to like to go to Italy just to find the culture. They're removing culture everywhere. And this thing with the UN and the guns and everything else that they're doing now, they're using the UN to create globalization. And if you don't think our stock markets and stuff, all these problems, a lot of it comes from globalization, it does. I mean, it's all because, you know, we're competing against communist countries who pay their people almost nothing to make shirts so we can wear them from Walmart. And it's like, so we're
cheating
the communist system already.
Go ahead,
Dennis.
The Mass Menace is on the line. Go ahead, Dennis.
I think what can sum up the problem last night, it was a great show, it's the lack of the golden rule.
That is?
That's what it is. Because people have not been treated for years as they would want to be treated. And it's that lack. And I could hear it from Poverty Supreme, the gentleman from Chicago, and White Mike.
Really? That's an interesting way to look at this.
Reese's spot on. And, man, I was listening. I was ready to comment, and I just got so frustrated because it got so heated, and I felt such anger, I hung up. And I thought to myself,
really?
There was just too much honest anger going on that I felt the conversation could not take a positive turn at that point.
Yeah, honest
it's that
anger.
Frustration.
That's
where people get to a point where they don't. Yeah.
That's an
exactly.
interesting point, folks. Folks, we are going to do what it is that we always do. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in 22 hours, and
okay.
We'll do this all again. Thank you, Sally D.
Well, catch me in the night when I'm not so frustrated. We'll have a good conversation.
And for the record,
before we go, it's already past midnight in New Zealand, and they're still chasing lamb over there.
Yeah, everybody's all right.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys tomorrow unless the end of the world happens. Tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. I want to thank Julie in Massachusetts, of course, with her husband, Carmine. We will see you guys tomorrow. Sally D, Dennis the Mass Menace, White My, whom I love. And you shouldn't have left. This was a perfect day for you. And we'll see you guys. Same bad time, same bad channel. It's Reset on Radio. Thank you for joining us.